Good evening. Let's turn to Psalm 116. We made reference to this passage this morning. We're going to take a closer look at it tonight. And you can keep your place here. We're going to go to another passage in the New Covenant and take a look there. But we'll return back to this verse here in Psalm 119. The psalmist says, verse 71, "It is good for me, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And now, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's return to verse 10. We're not finished with this passage yet. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. One of the pivotal passages on this subject that you'll come across in the Word of God. Peter speaking to the Christians scattered. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Well, tonight we're going to continue into our study of trials in the believer's life, and it's really my hope that our younger Christians especially will profit from these studies, because I believe it will help you so much in your Christian life, in the foundational establishment of your Christian life as you go on your pilgrim journey on your way. And the Lord has much to teach you along the way, I can assure you of that. And this will help you understand and grasp what God is trying to do in your life. But it certainly is just as much for those of us who are older, I believe. Now, what we would like to do tonight, and specifically, to some degree, is answer the question, what will trials do for me? What will trials do for me? Or, what are the God-given benefits of trials for me practically? Much the same question. What are the God-given benefits of trials for me practically? Now, you recall from this morning and from Wednesday night that we can define a trial, or suffering, as Peter calls it here in this verse, as anything that comes into my life that is of an unpleasant nature. And it does not matter how small and insignificant it may seem, or how large and devastating. There are no coincidences, and there are no chance happenings with our God in relation to trials. And this is something we do have to understand. If we fail to understand this point, we're not going to get very far in our progress in understanding how God uses trials in my life. Now, He desires to use both the small, unpleasant happenings of life and those great trials that occur in life as well. He wants to use both of them. Now, the problem with us Christians is that because of our insensitivity to the Spirit of God, we ignore the small unpleasantries of life because we believe that we can handle them in our own way. It is also true we do not understand that God is seeking to train me just as much in the small unpleasantries of life as He is in the large trials of life. Now, the sensitive, spirit-filled Christian understands that God uses seemingly small, disagreeable happenings in ordinary daily life to speak to me and to train me in the way that God wants me to go. So, we should all understand that trials, great or small, are part of God's sanctification process that He uses in every blood-bought child. And it's definitely tied in with the process of sanctification. We also remember from this morning that the child of God, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, is appointed to trials. And from 1 Peter chapter 2, we learned that the child of God is called to trials. And this calling is irrevocable. Just like our calling as a Christian, it is unalterable. It is irrevocable. And trials are given to us. We learned that in Philippians chapter 1. Now, I would also say from the general tenor of Scripture that if a child of God would receive and learn and profit from the small trials of life, our God would not find it as necessary to take us through the large trials of life. Doesn't this make sense? Now, the Bible teacher and the author, Theodore Epp, had this to say about the Christian's responses to trials. Listen to what this dear brother said. He said, "The more you rebel, the more you object, the more you walk after the flesh, the harder God will have to deal with you." Let us not forget that fact, dear ones. That is a truth from the Word of God. Now, certainly this is not to say that we will not go through large trials of life. But if we learn what God would have us to learn from in His smaller dealings, His smaller everyday dealings with us, then He would not need to further teach us something that we should have already learned. And here is something we must further understand. It is not as important to me to know why I am going through a particular trial as it is as to how I should respond in it. Now, let me repeat that. It is not as important for me to know why I am going through a particular trial as it is as to how I should respond in it. Now, we may never learn why we go through certain things. God's ways are not my ways, and His thoughts are not my thoughts. But this we know for a certainty. God greatly desires for me to accept the truth that any unpleasant happening in my life comes through His direct or His indirect will. And it could be the smallest of unpleasantries. God is working with me. Dear ones, let's get this in our minds. Now, we understand that we can and do, many times in life, receive the consequences of our own wrongs. We understand that principle, don't we? We reap what we sow. A great biblical principle in a lot of different applications. Now, Peter described that very thing in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we read this morning, and we dealt with that Wednesday night, and we just read it this morning. And Peter described it as being buffeted for your own faults. Buffeted for your own faults. And those of us with any perception at all have seen this in our own life, haven't we? If we've lived long enough, we've been buffeted for our own faults, our own sins, our failures, you see. Now, this too, we need to understand, is the will of God. Not that we sinned, but how we deal with it, you see. That is the will of God. That's what God is looking at. And this too must be received by the believer, and I must be exercised by it for God's glory. And that would include when I am buffeted for my own faults and sins. So there are many reasons for our trials in life. Some that are obvious and some that are not obvious at all. But understand well, dear Christians, all, every one are from God. And all are to be received by me. And I should react to them in a way that would bring glory to my God. And I use that word react for a good reason. When something unpleasant comes into my life, I will always react to it. It might not be an outward reaction. Frequently it is. Most of the time it's an inward reaction. But I will always react to unpleasant things. Now, my reaction may be for God's glory, or my reaction may be for God's dishonor. But understand well that my reaction, whether positive or negative, will always, always have an impact on me directly. An impact on my character. An impact on the influence that I have on others. An impact on my joy in my Christian life. An impact on my reward at the judgment seat of Christ. All of this, my reaction to trials, will profoundly and deeply affect me directly as a Christian. Even the smallest unpleasant happening will impact me directly. And my reaction to it will govern to what degree God can mold me into the image of His Son. Now, we can get a sense of this in the last half of verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5 here. Notice the last half of this verse. He says, by Christ Jesus, now note that, by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, I want you to note that word perfect. Makes you perfect, Peter says. Now, I really do love how the Amplified Version renders this word. It's really tremendous. It says, Christ Jesus will himself complete, now listen to this, Christ Jesus will himself complete and make you what you ought to be. Did you get that? Make you what you ought to be. What is the purpose of our sufferings, our trials, the unpleasant happenings of life? It is that Christ Himself would make me what I ought to be. And that is what complete and perfect means here in the King James Version. Christ making me what I ought to be. Now, at the very beginning this evening, we asked the question, what are the God-given benefits of trials for me practically? And here is the answer the Word of God gives. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through our trials, through our unpleasantness, is seeking to make me what I ought to be. And that is that I should follow His steps, as we read this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Follow in His steps. Christ is trying to make me like Himself. That is what I ought to be, as the Amplified Version so simply and accurately translates it. Now, before we go into the Old Testament and examine a very beautiful passage, a very poetic passage, I believe, that has great instruction for us, I would like to say this. In the past year or so, we have studied what the Scriptures teach us about the believer's heart, about the importance of my heart to God, matters about the grave necessity of judging my own heart. And these are issues that affect the condition and state of my heart, you see. We have also seen the role that my heart plays in regards to rewards or loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. How my heart affects my character, how it affects my dealings with others, how it affects what I am, my being, which in turn affects my doing. All of these things that we have examined as the Scriptures deal with them has not been by happenstance or by chance. We're going to discover, and it should not surprise us by now, that the trials and unpleasant happenings of life have just as much to do with my heart as does the judgment seat of Christ and what I am as a Christian. So the condition of my heart and my own dealing with it, or my own lack of dealing with it, directly affects my reaction to trials and how God deals with me practically every day of my life. This is very important for us to understand. So the condition and state of my heart directly affects my reactions and my responses to trials. And that in turn will affect how God deals with me as He uses trials to refine me into His Son's image. Now, at this point, let me give you some of these practical situations in which God deals with me and my response to them. Now, let's see if you can relate or if you have observed these daily, ordinary situations in which God deals with us. And to some degree, we dealt with that this morning. For instance, did a coworker offend you? That's never happened to you, I take it. Well, God is watching your reaction. He allowed it. Did your husband or your wife mistreat you? God is watching your reaction. He allowed it. Do certain Christians annoy you or are offensive to you? God is watching your reaction. He allowed it. Are you having financial difficulties? God is watching your reaction. He allowed it. Are you having troubles and concerns within your family, with children, with parents, with brothers, with sisters? God is watching your reaction. He allowed it. We could go on, but you get the picture. The question is, how do I respond to these trials, whether they be large or small? The Bible teaches us they come from my God. He permitted them. Remember the passages that we have gone through. He has appointed me to suffering. He has called me to grief. He has given me trial. It's clearly taught in the Scriptures. So how do I respond to these things? Well, is it with anger? Is it with self-vindication? You know, I'm right, you're wrong. Is it by being anxious or fearful or with worry? Is it with hopelessness or depression? Is it with agitation or in stress? Is it with resentment? You see? Well, we know that if we're honest with ourselves, and so often we're not, these reactions are not what God is looking for, are they? As a matter of fact, these are the reactions of the flesh, the old man. You see, God deals with me in such a way as to get me to see and to understand all of the unlovely and dishonoring emotions and feelings and personality characteristics in my heart. He wants me to clearly see them so that I will recognize them as and for what they are, as dishonoring. And I will do this by His indwelling Spirit. Now, the dilemma for many Christians is that over the years, because we have not responded and reacted to these trials, these unpleasant happenings in everyday life, we have hardened ourselves. We have become insensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, for that reason, because we are self-blinded, God has to increasingly bring more of these unpleasant experiences into our lives. And frequently, they are more severe. And this is so because God is trying to accomplish something in my life. Now, to see this more clearly, let's go back to Psalm 119 and verse 71 again. I hope you kept your place there. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me, the psalmist says, that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Okay, notice the word afflicted. Now, that word is the subject and the focus of this passage. Now, we already should understand by now that afflictions comes in many forms, don't they? Many, many forms. And I do hope that we understand that one of the prevalent and most used forms of afflictions that God uses in my life are the small, daily, unpleasant happenings that I usually and normally would ignore or disregard. We should also know by now that this is a grievous and fatal situation on my part, which totally hinders God's workings in my life. Okay, the subject is affliction in this verse. And notice what God intends by this affliction. No matter how small it may be, notice what God intends. First of all, the psalmist says, it is good for me. It is good for me. Now, the very first thing that we learn from this passage is that unpleasant happenings and circumstances are good for me. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that God has brought them into my life for my own good. He's brought them into my life for my own good. When someone offends me, it's for my own good. God sovereignly allowed it. When there is friction in my life with others, it's for my own good. God sovereignly allowed it. It does not matter what the affliction is, it is for my own good. Now, if I as a Christian do not get past this point here, if I do not accept this divine principle, if I rebel against this biblical truth, it will devastate my Christian life, and it builds upon itself. I will greatly limit my usefulness to God. It will hinder my fruitfulness for God. And it will hinder me from being molded into the image of Christ. The psalmist said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." When I ignore God's afflictions, or if I reject God's afflictions, then as far as I am concerned, they are not good for me. They're no good for me. I have defeated God's plan for me from the very beginning. Now, what we are talking about is a heart attitude here, which many Christians, unfortunately, do not possess. Many of us are walking around in life and are oblivious to, or even in refusal of, God's good work of affliction. Dear ones, do not defeat God's good work of affliction in your life. He has a great and an exalted purpose in it. Now, note the last half of this verse, verse 71. He says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted so that I might learn thy statutes." Now, what is God doing in my life through these daily unpleasant happenings that I experience? What is He doing? Well, He is trying to teach me something which I must learn, that I might learn thy statutes. God is teaching me how to be obedient in my life. Learning His statutes is learning obedience. This is the great and the grand goal of God for me. When I experience friction with others, when I am mistreated, when I am offended, when I have health problems, when I have financial problems, whatever the unpleasantness is, God is actively, purposefully, deliberately teaching me obedience. And dear Christian, I have to just as deliberately, on my part, submit to Him in my affliction. The psalmist said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, so that I might learn thy statutes." Dear Christians, He has appointed me to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He has called me to them. 1 Peter chapter 2. And He has given them to me. Philippians chapter 1. As 1 Peter chapter 5 and 10 tells us, that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the things that I suffer, is seeking to make me what I ought to be. What I ought to be. Dear Christian, do not ignore or reject God's dealings with you. Every unpleasant experience of life, no matter how small, is by God's design, His express design. He has a divine purpose. It is ultimately for my good, for my good. It does not seem that way. That is because we receive these things in the flesh. But we have the mind of Christ. But it is always for His own Son's glory if we receive them. And if I will react and respond to God's workings, it will bring me great joy and fruitfulness for my Savior in this life. I will learn obedience. I will be a blessing to others. And Christ-likeness will be produced in my heart. I've seen a few of these Christians. I've seen a few of them. And they went through a great deal in their lives to get them to that point. Think of these things. The next time one of those unpleasant experiences of daily life crosses your path, it is not by chance. It is not an accident. God Himself is intervening in my life to work out a glorious work that has eternal implications. He is transforming me into the likeness of His dear Son. Let us not defeat His glorious divine operation in turning a poor sinner into something that will be to the praise of His glory in this life and in the one to come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the sufficiency of Thy Word, that it is not a book of theology, even though it is. It is a book of the heart. And if we will understand what You are doing in our lives, if we will have comprehension from Thy Spirit, illumination and light from Thy Spirit in our hearts, we can respond to these unpleasant things in life, and You can mold us. You can sweeten us as a sweet-smelling savor of Christ. Dear God, we would pray this for each and every dear one here tonight, whether young or old. Let us hide these things in our heart, Father. We pray that You would hide them in our heart by Thy Spirit. Let us not depart from them. Let us fully embrace them. Let us not fear them. Let us not recoil from them. Let us not ignore them or reject them. Oh God, work a work in our hearts that the world around us would see Christ in me, that my brethren and sisters would see Christ in me, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified by a life that is poured out for Him. Oh, dear God, we pray this, that the mighty working of Thy Spirit would work in our hearts tonight to the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.